2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I'm going to preach a little while on supplying the Lord's needs. And Matthew 21:3. Kind of didn't really know which way to go today, but towards the last, I felt like going this way. And let's go. We'll read in the first chapter, verse of 21. And if they didn't get my title, I'm preaching on supplying the Lord's need. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, say it again, I can't do it. And were come unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now they're doing this right here because it was a custom in those days for someone who'd been a great conqueror, a prince of some kind, to they would bring him into the city, and they would bring him in triumphantly, and because they really thought that they were going to he was going to be the one that was going to get them under out from under the Roman bondage and the Roman oppression they was under. But anyway, it said, Hosanna to Christ, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh to the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now I want to preach a little while. There was a man that was an infidel, and he said, if God had really created the world. Now that's a man who don't believe in God, that says there is no God, or denies the being of a supreme being of God, a creator. And he said, if God would really create the world, then he would have made health contagious and not sickness and disease like the flu I'm fighting right now. It wouldn't have been contagious. Health would have been contagious. But you know, I really believe this. I want to preach a little while. I thought about two things. One, about how the Lord had need of this little colt. And you know, God could have used something else, but he had need of it. I read a few months back. It said God could have evangelized the whole world by himself. But he chose to use me and you, brother, and me and you, and me and you, and me and you. He chose to use our feet, our hands, our eyes, our legs, our feet to go out and evangelize the world. What? To tell. You know why? Because we are the ambassadors of Christ. I thought about where in this young people's group, there's vessels here, some to honor and some to dishonor. I mean, down the line, they'll either be labeled two ways. It's all going to be by your choices. But I want to say tonight, the Lord hath need of you. You can supply God's need. What does God need? He needs a yielded vessel. He needs a sanctified vessel. Brother Mike Roberts talked to me before church, said he'd been trying to get a hold of me. I told him about dad's surgery. I said, Brother Mike, I feel like preaching a message on what happened to the second part. We've heard a lot of people saying, thank God I'm saved, and thank God I feel the Holy Ghost. But when I got saved, they told me you need to be sanctified. You know why? Because if you're going to be a vessel that God can use, it's going to be empty and vain and void of everything in the world. You've got to sacrifice your life and give it to the Lord. Well, I'm feeling pretty good now. And they said the best translation of the scriptures is the translation into human life. Now, I like that. It ain't the King James. It ain't the ASV, NUV, or Rainbow or whatever else they got at those mall Bible stores. I don't like going to the Bible stores in the malls except to buy their tapes that are on discount for $2. Because usually you can't find nothing there but junk unless you go buy a King James Version Bible. That's why we like them old writers. That's why I get stuff from Fincastle, Virginia, from out of Michigan. I pass them on to people like Jimmy Collins. They get us those older books where I just like that, Chappelle and all them. But anyway, you know, I was thinking about Brother Kevin when I was downstairs praying, studying today. I thought they may not like Brother Kevin's God. They may not like Jesus Christ that Brother Kevin serves. They may not like the Bible he carries. The one thing they cannot deny is the translation and the transformation that's went on in his life. Because, see, I never worked no public job where I was really well known. When I got saved, I had worked a few jobs, but mostly I'd been with a farmer baling hay. And so every job I went into in the secular world after that, I went in as an 18-year-old and on, 18-year-old Christian. But Brother Kevin was out in the world at the same job he's at today, then got saved, brother. They've got to see a transformation in your life. He don't do the things he used to do. I can tell you this. I used to go over to his house. In fact, me and him stayed on a creek or on a pond, a bank of a pond one night, me, him, and Ronnie. It was one of the worst nights physically in my life. I was cold, I was tired, and I was hungry, but I was catching fish. And it's been the best time I ever had catching fish, but I was physically uncomfortable. So I was there with him when he had his long hair with the pretty curls in the back that you could have tied in a ponytail if you wanted to. It was always good to get a hold of him when you wanted to find him somewhere. But you know, there's been a change in him, and you can tell it. You know, thank God there's a transformation going on. This old boy here said, Brother Mike, said, I've been talking to a lot of people. Well, you know what it is? They've seen a change in his life. They've not picked up his Bible. They couldn't tell you what holiness is or what the holiness standards or what the Pentecostal blessing is. But they know Spencer once lived one way, lived a life of sin, and there's been a translation in his life, and he's a walking, living Bible everywhere he goes. That's what I like about this old-fashioned way. We can supply the Lord's need. We can be something God can use. I want to see the young people on fire for God. I want to see them in the altar. Oh, hallelujah. I want to see them draw nigh, those who don't have the Holy Ghost. I want to see them singing for the Holy Ghost. But before I ever see them trying to speak in tongues, I want to see them sanctified. Well, what is it? Sanctification. It's being dead to the world and dead to sin. It's having victory. Well, I'm not here to preach on sanctification right now, though I was wrestling that way. But I felt like going into Rebecca and Leanne's art kit tonight and pouring glitter all over my head and getting up here and preaching a while. Because some of the young people I've seen in this church has just came from art class when they come to church. Because I've seen they've been sparkling. And I thought it was something wrong with my eyes, you know. It wasn't my eyes. They just been in the sparkling dust. And the first time I seen it, I was up there at Wendy's. And the girl behind the counter, I said, what in the world's going on? She said, it's a new style. Well, we don't follow the new styles. And I'm not being mean or harsh. But don't wear your glitter tomorrow night if you're going to go with me as I go to preach. Don't wear your painted fingernails if you go with me tomorrow night when I go to preach. Because you will not sing with the choir. You're going to be sanctified. You say, Brother Mike, now don't be too strong. All right, but I've looked around. I don't see no soft spots. Glory to God, they need to live the walk. They need to live the life. I want them to be a vessel of honor. I can be here all night long and tell you stories of young people that me and Kevin run with, rub shoulders with. Dwayne is part of my youth group. I'm talking about the early 80s when we had Brother Joy High as our youth leader. There is used to be a whole platform full of young people. Most of them are gone and into the world. And Brother Mike, don't you be harsh to people. I'm not. But brothers and sisters, as much as I love them and I try to reach out for them, unless they give their heart...
criteria. I'll get real, Brother Marker. They're coming to the Lord any way they can. I want to see them come to the Lord and get saved. But after a while, you know, we need to deny ourselves. Now, today, well, let me back up. Let me get Mary was used of God to give Jesus life in a human form, to give Jesus feet, hands, eyes, mouth, nose, ears, just to make a human body. But on the Mount of Olives, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He's coming back again in glory. But you know what? Now, Tommy, you are to be the Lord's hands, feet, eyes, ears. You're the one that are needed. Me and Brother Kevin. Brother Kevin's got a great burden to pass out tracts. And the man at the Chinese restaurant that we frequent because of the cheap price, $2.95 for children, $4.95 for adults, free advertisement. And that's where everybody always tells me, you ought to eat this other place. Well, I don't see. I feel a lot better about myself when I'm eating something when it's real cheap. But when I have to pay a lot of money for something, I just don't enjoy it. I don't care if it's filet mignon and it cuts itself. I mean, I just don't enjoy. I just thank you, Brother Collins. I just don't enjoy it. oh, glory to God. That's living by faith, brother. That's part of that. But anyway, he's been asking me about God. Now, Brother David Ray started talking to him, and then he started coming to me, and he said, what do you tell people when you speak? Do you say, you be good like me? I said, no, I don't say you be good like me. I say, you quit sinning, give Jesus your heart and get saved and go to heaven instead of going to hell. And I was trying to break it down. He said, I know nothing about God because Mao Tse-sung would not let us have Bibles or know nothing about God. But I want to tell you, Brother Kevin Willis got word of that, and he went to the Lebanon Tract Society and got a tract and some tracts in Japanese and Chinese. Now, we found out today when we handed one of the waiters that track was Japanese. So he said, I cannot read that. I said, what are you talking about? He said, that's Japanese. Well, I told one friend of mine, I said, he probably says, all you fat Americans look alike too. But anyway, then we had one in Chinese. Brother Kevin said, give him this. And I said, well, let's give it to Brother David. So Brother David Ray handed it to the owner of the restaurant. And David said, what does that say on the front? He says, good news, you know, written in Chinese. I said, thank God, because now he didn't understand my English. He speaks broken English. There's no sense for me to get up there and talk about how I shout all over the church and run around the church. He didn't understand nothing about that. He needed the plan of salvation. And to get it to him, Brother Kevin got the burden. Glory to God. You know what? God has need of me and you. Kevin supplied the Lord's need by going out his way and getting a check in Chinese. You say, Brother Mike, he may have threw it down. That's all right. I've gave a lot of them. They've stomped in the ground. But they cannot deny the transformations in our lives. We can live it before. We can walk before. You know the reason he talked to us about God in the first place? I'm talking about the Chinese man. He's seen a lot of Americans, but there was something different about us. There was something different about us. What was it? We were saved. We were children of Christ. Well, I'm searching for words. We were children of the King. And brother Thomas, if the Lord can use a donkey, a base thing like he talks about in 1 Corinthians 1:28, surely there's something in there. This old brother Mike Barker can give the Lord that he might use. You know, I don't listen to myself preach, but somebody's listening, because even when I was evangelizing, people say, Brother Mike, I don't know you, but I've heard your messages, and we want you to come preach. I wasn't begging to go preach. They came to me in camp meetings, and I said, well, either they're not expecting very much, or I've got them fooled one or the other. But hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, I've said this before, I'm off my notes, so I might as well get away from them as far as I can. And there was a man one time that had a preacher come by his way. He was an old, old distinguished pastor years ago. This man was a young evangelist trying to make an impression on the elder pastor. Don't you think they don't do it? Oh, some people only feel led to take out the big camp meeting preachers to dinner. They never come by to us donkeys, Brother Tommy, and get me and you to take us out to eat. But it's all right. God will send somebody by our way, and we'll be satisfied if it's just a Big Mac or a Happy Meal. But you know what? It's always to try to impress somebody. You're not impressing God. Brother L.D. Moore a long time ago said, there's no big eyes or little U's in God's kingdom. We're all God's children. And you know what? The old evangelist, that evangelist went to that preacher and said, man, you must be very proud. Not only do you have one of the biggest churches in town, but you've got the head lawyer, the head district attorney going to your church. He said, yes, sir, I've got him. But said, you know who else I've got? I've got the janitor down at the bank. He said, what? Yeah, he's one of my distinguished members. What are you talking about, man? What about that big-time lawyer? Well, he drives the nicest car, and he comes when it's convenient to him to church. And when he comes to church, he expects to be made over. Brother, we are so glad to see you. I know you're so busy that you even have to make appointments to see God. But you know what? He wasn't putting God first. It was all social ladder. A friend of mine's running for a trustee right now in my hometownship. You know what he's doing? Like every other politician. I told him about Sister Cunningham. And he said, I'll be by to see her. So there's going to be a trustee coming by, or he said he would at least. Just wanting to act like he's concerned just to get your vote. And you know what? That old aged seasoned pastor said, son, sit down here a minute. He said, that lawyer comes when it's convenient to him. When he comes, if we don't make over him, he gets mad and pouts, don't come back for 3 months. Said he wants everybody to make over him and brag on how good he looks and how nice he's dressed, like Spencer here is, you know, looks like a nice lawyer. But you know what? He said, that bank janitor said, you'd never know he's back there, but said he's been faithful on the job, faithful to church, faithful to his family. Said every time there's a revival, he brings people into church. Said he's been the cause of more people getting saved in this church and becoming members. He's never been acknowledged behind the pulpit, but I want to tell you, heaven is taking note of people like that. Thank God we are needed. We can supply the Lord's need to be a witness. I love the story of Andrew. Every time you read of Andrew in the Bible, he is bringing somebody to Jesus. Three times. One time, he brings his brother Peter. The next time, he brings a little lad. Will he cry if I pick him up? I ain't going to have you preach. Here, walk with me a minute. Here. Don't get offended at me, Joanna. I want you to fix me chicken dinner someday. But he brought a little lad with him. I would put you on my shoulder, but anyway, all the boy had was a lunch. But they had over 5,000 men plus women and children that had been listening to Jesus Christ speaking on the hillsides. And Andrew said, here you go. And Jesus looked at the little boy, and the little boy said, all right. Thank you, brother. I want to tell you, sometimes it seems like it's so insignificant, the things that we do. But you know what? When we put it in the Lord's hands, all glory to God. You know the man that let the Lord use that donkey? Every time he took a look at that donkey, it was never the same. I don't know about you. Glory. Glory to God, it was changed. It was changed. Oh, glory to God, it was a difference. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I don't know about you all, brothers and sisters, but mom and dad sold the house in 1985, the very year I got married, where me and my brother was living when we got saved, in the very bedroom where I got the Holy Ghost. It wasn't nothing to nobody else, but that room was never the same again after that Saturday afternoon in July of 1981. When the Holy Ghost fell in that room on a Saturday afternoon and filled with the sweet Holy Ghost, it was never the same again. I walked around that room to wait. I said, these people that's moving in may turn into a rock and roll den. But I said, God, I'm thankful that this place will always be holy and sanctified. Glory to God. Why? Because the Lord came down and moved I'm preaching on the Lord, supplying the Lord's need. Do you know, brother? There's been things. I mean, one man said, Brother Barker, you know, he was trying to give me all this advice, and I tried to do things different. But I just realized the best thing to do, just get along with God and just open yourself up and say, Lord, take me, make me, mold me, and use me for your glory. Because I'm not getting the glory. It's all God's work. It's all done unto the Lord. But the Lord needs somebody, Brother Tommy. He needs somebody. You know, brother, brother D.L. Moody, with so many LDs in our movement, I have to watch when I say that, brother. D.L. Moody was preaching for Charles Haddon Spurgeon, late 1800s. Had a great revival going on. Every day, he walked by with joy and smiled and waved at some kids on the street playing. Every day. After about 3 days, just smiling, waving, he looked out and there was Mom standing there. He smiled and waved. By the end of the week, they were going to the meeting. Before Sunday came, the whole family was in the altar seeking God for salvation. D.L. Moody leaned over to Spurgeon, said, that's a whole family that was won by a smile. He said, I did not open the scripture one time. I did not quote them one scripture. I did not offer them one time to pray with me. But I just showed them kindness and love. You know, I said last night, and the Lord kind of checked me. We seen a cross dresser, and all. Well, did you hear me say that, brother, last night? There was a man at our thrift store, Brother Collins' sanctified thrift store, and where all the other holiness people shop. And we had the brother and sister Graham and their boy Stephen, who's single, and they wanted me to let all these young girls know that. And works for the telephone company, 25 years old. So if you got married, he could always keep you in contact with Mom over the phone line. So anyway, I was bragging about our town, and he wanted some shoes. I said, don't go to Walmart. Let's go to the thrift store. And we got into the thrift store, and I thought this stuff only happened in California or big cities. And there was somebody, I mean, he was ugly, and he had a wig on, and he had earrings in his ears. He had hairy legs with high heels on. he had a purse. And my wife said every time he took a step, he about twisted his ankle off. Looks like common sense would tell him he ain't made for those things. But you know what? There he was down there shopping, and my wife looked at him, a decent, holiness, modestly attired woman, you know, in women attire, trying to shop the same dress as he was shopping. He looked at my wife like she was out of her mind because she was staring at him. And I almost wanted to go and talk to him, and I didn't do it, and now I wish I had him. I wouldn't have downed him. I'd have said, son, you need to find Jesus. Mister, you need to find the Lord. You know, no doubt he's somebody. He's grandpa. Glory to God. How would you like to see Papa riding your bicycle, little girls? How would you like to see your Papa riding side saddle, Rob? Oh, glory to God. This world's in a mess. And the Lord needs people like me and you to supply his need, to carry the gospel, and to live a Christ-like, holiness life before him. Not to beat him over the brow and say, we're better than you, but to say, look, I once was like you. I once was on my way to hell, but I've got the answer. It's Jesus Christ, and it's living for him.
Right. Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God. Maybe I'm just feeling it. Okay. You know, when he gave the little donkey, everybody else seen his offering of love, and they started taking off their cloaks and their garments, laying on the donkey and the little colt, and then they started laying it, the garments. And Brother Collins always, he enlightened me on some things. I mean, it wasn't just like me and you. My Grandma Barker had one of those pedal-type sewing machines. Man, we thought that was a burden, you know, because Mamma would make them quit them. And I'd get that thing going sometimes just about sew my finger up. Because you get that thing really, really singing. It had a leather strap, you know, to get around the wheel and around the thing on the sewing machine. And you can make that thing fly. And we probably cost Mamo a lot of needles because me and Mark thought it was a game. But it was lucky we didn't get more stitches than what we did on that thing. In our fingers, that is. But they didn't have those. I mean, when you threw out something to be trampled by an animal, man, I mean, you know, it took a lot of time to make clothes back those days. And but you know what? They seen it. And that's what the writer said. And I was studying by. He said, a lot of times when we really, you know, show ourselves, be willing to be used of God, whether it's financially or whatever, it kind of is contagious. You know, it kind of, other people kind of gets in the spirit of it.
Yeah.
And 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. And I'll turn there in this new Bible that I'm breaking in tonight. And you all know it. And we're going to close. Talks about being an ambassador. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are God's ambassadors in this world. We are the light that they are seeing. And I want to say this. I pray that every one be sanctified and meet for the Master's use, a vessel of honor. I hope this preached all right. I felt good preaching. I thank the Lord for helping me. At 2:30 tomorrow, my dad's going into surgery. It's very serious. They've even told the family he may not make it through. But my dad's got a very good attitude. And I'm asking all the preachers that will pray for him and everybody. And if they feel like the preachers or anybody feel like going by talking to my dad, you're more than welcome. He's in the Middletown Hospital. But pray for my dad. And he'll get saved, most of all. And let's all find a place to pray. Pray for the night's service. Pray that God will have his way. If God deals on you, you will be obedient to the Lord tonight.